Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, friends. My name is Alexis J. Smith, and it is a pleasure to greet you in this hour. The Impacting You Radio Network has been a developing vision for some time now, and today we launch our inaugural broadcast with a very special guest, someone to whom I believe I was divinely connected on what has already been a blessed journey of insight and personal growth. Add to that the cherry on top that my guest today is also a Higher Alexis client. So without further ado, I am honored to welcome my friend, energy therapist and author, Paula Potts. Paula, good morning.
Good morning, Alexis. Blessings to you and to everyone listening to this show. Thank you for inviting me to be your guest on Impacting You, Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm really excited. What a great idea.
Thank you.
Well, everything Paula, that I have actually for me is about impacting.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's about.
Yes.
That is what it's about.
Yes.
Well, let's jump right in, Paula. I introduced you as energy therapist and author, and I'm guessing that most of, maybe I shouldn't guess that, but let's just explain to our listening audience, what is energy therapy?
Great question, and my favorite subject.
All right.
And one of the reasons that I wrote the book, actually, is so that I could share the good news about energy therapy. And energy therapy is many, many, many things. And that's what's so great about it. At its core, it's a natural healthcare system that is based on energy principles that have to do with what we call the wireless anatomy, the subtle energy systems in the body that that practitioners work with through the art of palpation, which is sensing through the hands. And beyond the palpation, which is done during the body work, energy therapy includes diet and nutrition, it includes exercise, it includes a holistic philosophy about the interrelatedness of health challenges and life challenges, which lead to dis-ease and disorder in our lives and in our body-mind. It also has an emphasis on the whole person, on all levels of being, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, lifestyle, passions, purpose, all of the above. Every part of our beingness is covered in the practice and the protocols of energy therapy treatment. It's based on the idea that all creation is energy. And I'll put a pin in and we'll talk some more.
Okay. So is energy medicine new? Is it something that is new to the scene or, you know, has it been around for a while?
It's new and old at the same time. And I think that's also another part of what makes it great. It's because it embodies the ancient wisdom of Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine. So in that sense, it's old and based on long-standing practices of the ancients who had a lot of wisdom when there was no medicine. And then it's based on osteopathy, which is a legitimate medical practice, and some chiropractic. And the new paradigm of polarity therapy and of cranial sacral therapy, they were actually formulated in the late 40s, early started to come into popularity somewhat in the 60s. So in that sense, it's new.
Okay.
You know, it's 40, 50 years old in terms of organizations. There's the American Polarity Therapy Association, et cetera, before organizations start to form around the practices and the protocols that were written about and recorded by such persons as Dr. Randolph Stone, who is the founder of polarity therapy. So it's been around, you know, a half a decade, I would say, in practice. And it's practiced all over the world. It's practiced in Puerto Rico, in Russia, in the UK, in the Netherlands. My mentors and teachers now travel all around the world, Holland, to many, many places and actually use translators to teach this work. It is growing and growing. In the 20 years that I've been studying this work, it has grown magnificently, you know, throughout the universe. So I'm very, very happy about that. I'm trained in two disciplines, and one of them is called biodynamic craniofacial therapy, and the other is called polarity therapy, which I just mentioned. And I was trained locally here in D.C. I was very blessed that the work was being taught here at the time that I needed to pursue it. Mm. And I was led to these therapies because of my own health challenges. It was sort of a last resort. I had spent 7 years after being diagnosed in 1988 with fibromyalgia. I spent 7 years with the conventional medical system without getting much useful results. Actually ended up getting a lot worse as the 7 years went on. And again, by grace and divine intervention, much like how we met, Alexis, I was led to a dance class, a synergy dance class, in which polarity therapy was taught. And that was my beginning. And as they say, the rest is history. And it's 20 years later, and I've used both of these disciplines, to heal myself of the severe pain and disability that I suffered from both the fibromyalgia and the crazy part from panic disorder. I also suffered panic disorder and was labeled crazy when people didn't understand what the pain was and what the panic was all about. And so I was much maligned in my early years of challenges with these medical issues. But through the grace of God and divine intervention and the practice of energy medicine, which I consider my sacred contract with healing, that's why that's the subtitle of my book. My sacred contract with healing is all about my journey with energy medicine and the 10-plus years that I spent in full-time therapy, which enabled me to get up out of bed and walk again, which enabled me to be panic-free now for 10 years, which enabled me to regain my purpose, to start my life all over again. It's just been a phenomenal impact. Back to the key focus of this show, the impact of this work was phenomenal. And I like to say it saved my life. That's what I believe.
Wow. Well, that's impact.
It literally saved my life.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that energy therapy is either directly or derived from ancient practices. And as I'm hearing you talk about the journey in brief detail, you touched on what do you do when, in cases in ancient times, when modern medicine, as we now know it, was not available, up through today, where modern medicine may in many cases make you feel worse. You know, how can you take us from that into what is now known as your Feel Better Challenge? Where is the connection? And then can you tell us about the Feel Better Challenge?
Yes, and I can give you a little bit more about what that transition, which I think fits into the first part of your question. You know, in the 7 years that I was with the conventional medical system, I had to endure a treatment protocol called trigger point injection, which
trigger
you know, needles
injection,
right? Which were needles, you know, that I had to sit and let somebody prod through all my muscles with, and that went on for all those 7 years, right? A very painful treatment. Got very little results from it. I got some results, but it was a very painful kind of treatment. Well, that doesn't really happen like that in energy practice. You know, when I got into energy work, I went from painful, debilitating treatment to gentle, supportive, loving treatment. Yes, sometimes I had a healing crisis, which caused me to get sick before I got well, even in that process. So I'm not going to dress it up to be what it's not. But in time, those adverse effects would lessen and weren't nearly as bad as the adverse effects I had from trigger point injections and from all the pharmaceutical drugs that I was taking that were giving me side effects such as blurred vision and, you know, all kinds of cognitive issues and memory issues. So the transition to the gentler science of healing and art and science of healing definitely made me feel better, going through the Feel Better Challenge. And I learned to trust the feel better part. So when I had a session
and I felt more relaxed after the session, the Feel Better Challenge. It's about energy and energy exercises, and part of that is about being able to relax, right, in your body. You know, that was mm-hmm. a feel better part. I could trust that I was going to come off that table feeling relaxed, which meant I was going to feel better.
Right.
So, you know, my presence to my whole self changed because I could be happier in my own body because I could feel better. Because for a long time, you know, I quote-unquote hated my arms and my legs. I was virtually cursing them for hurting and making me unhappy. And then I had to learn to turn that around and say, I love my body. I love my legs, my arms. They hurt, but we're going to get rid of this pain. And, of course, I was able to reduce the pain considerably and through these gentle therapies that are provided in energy medicine. Just phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal opportunities to heal.
So I know that you introduced the Feel Better Challenge initially at a wellness fair in Richmond, Virginia this past September, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and that was an opportunity. I think you were actually a sponsor of the event hosted by Letitia McDougall of the May We Help You Network. So we want to say hello to our fellow Blog Talk Radio
yes,
Network.
Yeah, definitely want to give a shout out to Letitia McDougall.
Absolutely.
Right? And the May We Help You Network and the Healthy Wealthy Wives Expo, which was a wonderful opportunity. And I met her rather serendipitously, actually through a contact that you gave me. So you really started the ball rolling on this field that challenge by putting me in
wonderful.
Touch with her. And then, right, it's amazing. You know, divinity is definitely at work here.
Mm-hmm.
All of this, my journey, your journey, our journey, and this journey of impacting you. And so once I decided, made the choice to become a stage sponsor, then I became faced with the idea of how was I going to negotiate sharing the information in my book to an audience in a mall, right? Not in a classroom,
okay.
not in a container, but to an audience, open audience. And what came in for me very clearly was that I wanted to give an experience. I wanted them to leave there with something they could feel. So the Feel Better Challenge literally became something you could feel, a series of exercises that would make you feel better in some way, physically, mentally, calmer, relaxed, more joy, whatever it is. By the time you did one or more of these exercises, you would feel better in some way that matters. And it would actually be transforming because this is something you would do by your own effort. I would only be guiding the class. You know, I would only be guiding the exercise. The individuals
mm-hmm.
would be doing the exercise. And this is something that you can do for yourself, by yourself, with yourself, to heal yourself. And because our presence in this world is under our management and control. You know, that's sort of the underlying bottom line of the Feel Better Challenge, is being able to negotiate a kind of presence, create a kind of presence in ourselves that makes us better negotiators, better planners, you know, better in meetings, better in our lives. You know, and this happens when we have a place in our being where we feel good, and so we give that to the world. When we walk in the room, when we walk into the room, people want to work with you. They want to be with you because your presence draws them to you.
Nice.
So,
we'll talk more about presence. I know that you have, based on the success of the Feel Better Challenge launch in September, you are, you know, moving forward with it, and there is a little bit of a holiday theme that you've presented.
Yes.
Where, and let me try to say this slowly so that I get it out. It's presence is the ultimate gift, or i.e. present, of all seasons. Tell us about presence and how it can be a present in this season and others.
And I have you to thank for that as well. So let me just give credit where credit is due. The present of presence is the ultimate gift for all seasons. We're in the holiday season, so it's particularly a good gift this time of year when there are extra stressors and pressures and things and responsibilities and expectations. But presence matters every day of your life. That's why it's such a great present and a gift for all seasons. It matters every day of your life. For example, a first impression, right, happens in a moment of dynamic presence.
you don't get a second chance, right, to make a first impression.
Right.
So that's an example of how presence matters. Whatever your presence is when you're trying to make that first impression, that's a one-shot deal, right? So it's that kind of idea. That's how much it matters. Sometimes it matters to whether or not you're successful or unsuccessful in something you're trying to accomplish. And then presence is very accessible. You know, it's something you can feel everywhere. Nature, for example, has great presence. You know, that's why I have flowers on my front porch and my back porch. I have beautiful flowers so that when I enter and exit my home, the first thing I see is a beautiful flower. And I can feel the energy of that flower preparing me for the day or sending me that in at the close of the day. And I feel better. The flower makes me smile spontaneously, the presence of a beautiful flower. So the presence of something supportive and loving, it matters every day of our life because we face the challenge of the constant bombardment of external pressures. We have the natural ability to be peaceful and joyful in our lives. However, the events in our lives often thwart our best efforts to be peacefully and joyfully present. You know, we have all the things we read on Facebook, all the things we see in the news, the things that go on our jobs, you know, that just throws us out of kilter. So those are the challenges. And so that's why it's good to have some exercises that you can habituate, which is always the goal, is to take these exercises and make them a part of your daily life, your lifestyle, because the Feel Better Challenge is a way of life. Energy medicine is a way of life, and presence is indeed a way of life. So it's a lot.
Well, let's keep going with it. You mentioned the exercises. So I know that the Feel Better Challenge is going to be offered in a 5-part series beginning this holiday season and continuing into the early months of the new year, and that you are going to have an opportunity to welcome the National Black Home Educators as in-studio guests or participants in the Feel Better Challenge. But would you take a minute and maybe incentivize our listeners today to also join us on the Feel Better Challenge by going over the 5-part series and the steps that you will be guiding us through?
I would love to. And just let me say again, thank you to you for setting up the program with the Home Educators, National Black Home Educators. It's just such an amazing opportunity. I'm so honored to be in the midst of those who shape the minds and the futures of our world by being educators to begin with. Yeah, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, it gives me chill bumps, right, to think about it, you know. And I feel come from a long line of educators. Was one time my first career was in higher education. So I have a real passion for education myself. And what I feel is so awesome about the relationship between the Feel Better Challenge and what the home educators are doing is that they now, with this work, these exercises can be foundational to what they already do. You know, it's something that they can add to what they already do. It's something that doesn't take a whole lot of training, maybe some practice. It's something that both the teacher and the learner can do. For example, breathing exercises. You know, we are quite aware now in the 21st century that breathing exercises can cause us to have better mental clarity, can cause us to have better intuitive clarity, can cause us to be calmer and to relax, such that when we are engaged with another person, in this example, in the teaching and learning process, if any challenge comes up, if any conflict comes up, you're likely to handle it in a gentler, kinder, more loving way if you are present to your breath. If your breath, you've done a few breathing exercises, so the teachers, the parent teachers, can do breathing exercises on their own to establish their own countenance as calm and relaxed and supportive. And they can also do breathing exercises with the learners, with their children, so that they pick up early in life. It's so important to learn to do the right kind of breathing early in life. And so that's just one example, which is the first exercise that I take
Breathing is my my anchor in all that I do, different kinds of breathing exercises. So that's one thing that I am confident would be of use in the teaching and learning process. Being grounded for the same set of reasons. You know, there's an exercise which grounds you in your feet and has you establish a connection to earth, and it does enhance your feeling of security and stability, once again, in the teaching and learning process. If any kind of challenge comes up, even if it's a positive challenge, challenge isn't always negative, but challenge is challenge. You know, there's a moment at which some discord or resistance, you can take a breath in the middle of that resistance and notice a shift back to a sense of clarity in perception and how to move forward. The same thing with visualization. Visualizing is an excellent tool, you know, for learning and using the imagination and sparking creativity. And also, it's a tool that you can use to monitor your own emotions. We'll talk more about that later. So all of these can be done between the parent and the learner, the child, and can be very foundational to the start of the day. You know, let's take a breath before we do anything, you know. Let's say a gentle meditation, a gentle gratitude prayer. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, oh God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Love is the answer. Be blessed, be blessed. Now let's go into our subject matter for the day. So you have set the tone for sacred space and sacred energy to support the teaching and learning process. It's just an amazing paradigm for success for all parties involved, all parties involved. So I'm excited to bring this to learning and to get feedback. I'm also interested. It's a two-way street, obviously, right? So I'm also interested in getting feedback. And so if there are any ways that I need to reshape or revise or modify the way that I deliver the exercises, because they're guided exercises, because my intention is always with this work to give the experience of the work, not just the words on paper. But it really is about something you can feel. So I want to see how effective I am at actually sharing the experience in a way that makes a difference and indeed becomes transforming in the final analysis. And build health. Because when you breathe, you do the belly breathing, the nose breathing, you get more oxygen into the lower lobes of your lungs. And that right there is beneficial in several ways. It's beneficial because of the oxygen. It's beneficial because that's the parasympathetic. That's the calming nerve for the nervous system or in the lower lobe of the lungs. And you need to get that air and that oxygen in there so you can get that relaxation response. So this is scientific stuff. You know, it's been well researched and studied and practiced and it's powerful beyond words that I can even give you. So that's why it's important to me to give the experience. And so that's my focus.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I don't
know.
You got to feel it.
You do.
You have to feel it. And,
feel
you know,
it. Yeah.
Impacting you is an outcome of a joint initiative of, you know, resources and focus between my Higher Alexis consulting practice and my LLC, which is entitled to Educate. It's a community empowering firm. And the thought behind what Entitled to Educate will one day be is that every member of the community has a role. You know, which is not far-fetched. I think, you know, most people would agree there. But the question is, how do you empower each member of the community? I used to work with an organization that I'm still happily affiliated with, but it was with that experience that I learned of the term community faculty. And, again, and somewhat self-explanatory, you know, we all have a role in the teaching and learning process that is constant. It's always going on, and
Absolutely.
It's our responsibility,
Absolutely.
I believe, to make that teaching and learning experience as positive, I mean, realistic, but as positive as possible. And as I'm hearing you talk specifically about the breathing exercises or the practice of being
aware of your breath and your heartbeat. To me, that is something that is universally applicable and particularly necessary as a tool to alleviate or, if not pause in its tracks, anxiety.
Absolutely.
I feel like every member of our community is dealing with some level of anxiety, particularly those who are active in their roles.
Yes.
There are challenges, and you mentioned, you know, the social media and the news broadcasts and so on, and,
yes.
you know, we don't have to go down completely digress, but I wanted to share that I think it's universally applicable, and do you agree? I mean, am I right?
Absolutely. I write in the book mm-hmm. that anxiety-related issues and diagnoses, et cetera, are at an all-time high. There's a mm-hmm. critical mass of people who are in need of this kind of assistance because of the level of anxiety and stress that's now being experienced. When I was in Richmond doing the expo, a young woman bought my book who was a psychotherapist, and she turned on the back of the book and she saw the word anxiety, and she said, "This is why I'm getting this." She said, "You know, it's about this anxiety thing that's going on." She said, "It's just got too much of it." So we had a whole conversation about that. And she's a, you know, fellow practitioner of the healing arts. So, you know, we're very aware. And these exercises, and they're not so much my exercises, right? These exercises are drawn from my study and practice of polarity therapy in particular and craniosacral therapy as well. So I've drawn what I think is the best and the easiest way to present, you know, this particular series of five groupings of exercises that I think sort of cover the waterfront and that are accessible. You know, they're not hard to learn, you know, but some deal of practice is required. And I agree with you. You mentioned the heartbeat there. You know, one of the exercises, heart listening. Imagine children listening to their heartbeat, whether they're being homeschooled or whether they're in a community event with our community faculty or church, wherever they are, children getting in touch with their heartbeat, you know, and learning to pay attention and notice what's there and to be okay with what's there, to not be startled if their heartbeat should shift because they're in the habit of listening and noticing and blessing their hearts and saying, "Love lives here." That's the heart mantra for the exercise. Love lives here. Recognizing that the most important thing about listening to their heart is feeling the feeling of love that lives in their heart. Imagine teaching this to children. Imagine reminding adults who've forgotten. And some may not appreciate that, but, you know, that's what the heart is about. Love lives there. And so you want to be able to get in touch with that. And if you're not feeling, if your heart is injured in some way, then this is a way to heal your heart, you know, with the visualization and the listening in a positive and supportive and caring way. So there's just so much to offer in these very simple exercises. Shaking it off, you know, which is, I think, number five, which is the last one in the series, the most active one in the series, is literally about releasing and letting go of anxiety and pent-up stress. You know, in energy medicine, we understand that a lot of our dis-ease in the body is blocked energy that gets blocked, that's not moving through the cycles that the energy should be moving through if it were at its healthiest. And so the shake it off exercise is designed to use the breath and movement in the body, a more aggressive movement in the body, to literally let go of energy, to restart the cycle of energy movement in the body such that that energy goes through a complete cycle, and then what you have left is health in the body. What you have left is relief in the body, you know, because you've let go of ideas and emotions and experiences that no longer serve you. You know, and there's a specific breath for that, the ha breath, which is a fiery, let it go breath. And then there's the calming breath at the end, you know, which is sort of soothing. So these are, you know, we all say,
all right, I like
right?
that.
you know. So, you know, it's an experience, and you want to feel the vibration in your body. You know, presence, energy, medicine, it's all about vibrational radiance and magnetism. So you want to become your own vibrational magnet. such that you highlight and uplift the movement of energy in your energy system, in your body and mind and heart and soul.
Mm. Oh, such amazing stuff. I just can't stop talking about it when I get started.
So you might have to cut me off somewhere.
No, yeah, I'm with you. And your energy and the spirit, you know, comes through as always, you know, when I hear you talk about the work that you do. And I would, you know, expand it and just say it would increase your appreciation of life.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
being conscious,
yes,
of your own heartbeat and recognizing that,
yes,
that same love that lives in you and that spirit is also present in your neighbor, be your neighbor, your friend,
yes,
or not.
Yes.
That light,
yes,
and that,
yes,
energy is still there to be respected. And I think that, you know, in addition to addressing some of the anxiety in our community, you know, just a reunion with our awareness and our respect for our own lives and then each other's.
Well said. Very well said. That's exactly it. Once again, you're totally, totally on target. You know, it is about our life. It is about our lifestyle, and it's about the others in the world. You know, we are indeed, this is another one of my soapboxes, you know, we are indeed all connected here on this earth. You know, we're all connected. All the peoples are connected. All the individuals are connected. You know, we're connected energetically. We're connected spiritually. Even when we're not in the same room, we're connected, right? And so this does speak to developing the kind of presence that brings positivity and love to the world, helps everybody. Helps everybody.
Right.
So
you know, Paula, I follow,
yeah,
you on social media, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to ask that you please share your social media contact information with our,
okay,
listeners. But one of the hashtags that you use, and I think you touched on, you said love lives here, is also love is the answer.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, that does. It speaks for itself. And I would like to use that as a segue, if you will allow me to, for you to share with us more about your book, Yesterday When I Was Crazy, A Sacred Contract with Healing.
Thank you again for supporting the book and my journey as a writer and as someone who speaks for the healing arts and advocates the healing arts. And yes, the book actually was, well, the title, Yesterday When I Was Crazy, it actually came in as a poem.
Okay.
Yesterday When I Was Crazy was a poem first. And when the poem was given to me in 2005, I knew right away that it was the title of my book. And I was aghast. I was like, oh, God, no. Do I have to write about being crazy? And then when he gave me the subtitle, you know, A Sacred Contract with Healing, then I knew I was okay, right?
Right,
but,
right.
So I spent 9 years writing the book, and then in the 10th year, found the right editor, Kathleen Barnes, with Take Charge Books in Brevard, North Carolina, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful professional. And I spent a year, you know, with her, and then last September, it was actually released and fully published. It's available on Amazon.com. And I could not write the book. The book was a gift from God, I believe. And I know people say this a lot, and I'm going to still say it because that's what happened. You know, I really didn't grow up and say I want to write a book about all I went through, right?
Right.
But my medical doctor kept encouraging me, when are you going to tell the story? You know, this, what you're doing is quite unique, quite different. When are you going to write the book? So he stayed on me. Other family members stayed on me and realized that I had to do it. And it started coming. And then I realized that the focus of the book had to be on what works, right? I was going to share all the therapies I had tried and studied and all the ideas that I had encountered that were empowering and enlightening and aha moments that were transforming for my health, that I was going to share all of those things. Well, as I was going through the process, I set up a vision board in my bedroom. And for some reason, I don't even know why, originally, at the top of the vision board were the words, love is the answer. Alexis, I can't even tell you where I got that thought the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it did take the top spot on my vision board. So as I'm coming to the end of the writing of the book and I needed this central theme, I looked up one day and I went, oh, there it is. Love is the answer. That's what this book is about. And so that's how this theme evolved. And the more I got into that, matter of fact, it's the opening line to the book, Love is the Answer, you know, I realized that that is the truth that I believe with my whole heart. And that is what I have experienced. And that what it means in actuality is that an act of love is what you always want to have as your first choice in any situation. And that can be many things. It doesn't mean you run over and hug and kiss somebody, you know. It can mean that. But for the most part, it means that you think, first of all, take a breath, and then think about options that share your lovingness. And that can be compassion for someone else's circumstances, rather than being turned off by someone else's and judging someone else's circumstances. That can be an act of kindness, which is an act of love. A smile is an act of love. Forgiveness is an act of love. The list goes on and on and on and on. But if you stop and pause before every major event, every action that, you know, you really can have management and control over, you will recognize that that's a holy moment to make a sacred choice about how to proceed and how to present yourself, how to give the present of your presence, okay, how to give the ultimate in that situation is to give it from a place of a loving choice. The question, what would love do? And you'll find when you practice it that there are many, many more answers to that than you thought. You know, maybe love just gets quiet, right? Maybe love says nothing, you know, when there's the potential that you can hurt somebody else's feelings, right? You know, maybe love is just present to that person who needs someone to listen and doesn't say anything, right? Even to someone who comes to you for help. You know, maybe you need some help to love yourself, because it really starts with self-love. And forgive somebody who wronged you so that you can feel better about what happened in your life. Not so much what happened to you. You may not ever forget what happened to you, but certainly it doesn't have to hold you hostage. And forgiveness is a way to not be held hostage. Support is an act of love. And you can support overtly. You can support through prayer, right? You can send up some timbers and, you know, for the friends, the ones in need, for people all over the world who are suffering, that is an act of love. Meditation is an act of self-love. So I believe for every therapy that I pursued, that love was the kernel, was the seed that grew into the flower that healed me.
Beautiful.
Because somebody
cares.
Well,
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and forgive me. Do you have a copy of your book in front of you or nearby?
I certainly do.
Would you
I do
read,
good...
and this is one of my favorite, among many, one of my favorite parts of the book, and it's the closing to your introduction. Page 4.
Okay. Page 4. Oh, okay.
Would you do us the favor? I am honored to share the very last section.
Sure.
Yeah.
My pleasure. I am honored to share my story of love and healing. I am called to remind all who will listen, God is bigger, bigger yet, more than otherwise you can get. Forever faithful, loyal, and true, God's power can build your dreams for you. And that's taken from my poem, God is Bigger. And the closing line is, love is the answer. I can say that from deep within. This book tells all about it from my heart and my pen. Paula Potts, Washington, D.C., June 2014. Thank you, Alexis, for asking me to read that.
That is so powerful. And hearing hearing you read it, I think just, you know, sends it over the top. So thank you for being ready.
Thank you. No, that was perfect because it's It leads me to love of the answer is the central theme of the book, but God is bigger is the spiritual message in the book. So you went right on to the next alignment because you were all over it. And so
God is bigger.
So that was perfect segue. So, yes, and that's another great lesson that I was given, you know, as I was going through all these therapies, and I would get led to the next big thing, right? You know, the next big thing and the next big thing. And, you know, there were many times when I just thought I wasn't going to make it. I had so many setbacks. You know, I'd make all this progress, and I'd have a big setback and had to start over and over. And every time God would send me just one person who made all the difference, or one therapeutic opportunity that would make all the difference or be life-changing, some kind of essential oil or some kind of supplement, you know, and I'd be like, God is bigger. Because, you know, these were things that I never would have thought of. You know,
right.
if these weren't being given to me through the God who is bigger than all of our challenges, you know, there's a solution for every challenge that exists in the world. That's how big God is. God is omnipresent, right? God is present everywhere all the time. So that's why God is bigger. And in our lives, God can be bigger. And the God within us is what we're really seeking in the Feel Better Challenge, is the God energy within us, our connection to Source, our connection to the Earth, our connection to Mother Nature, our connection to love, our connection to our fellow man, and our passion to heal ourselves and to heal the world and make the world a better place and a place where we all feel better.
Excellent. Yeah, I was looking when I pulled out the book.
Sorry,
to ask
but
you
I just
read.
No.
I mean, you're right on point. And that leads us to something else I think that we should touch on briefly. The book is obviously, as you shared, you know, a testimony, your story of love and healing. But at a certain point, you do go into the specifics. There's several chapters here, you know, that start with what works. And you share the very specific resources and, practices that are tangibly a part of the feeling better experience and the challenge.
Exactly.
So, you know, I, again, ladies and gentlemen, I've read the book. I am a fan of it as a written work. And I would encourage you to pick it up as well. You know, the peace and the spark of excitement that you feel, I'm sure that you feel in your spirits after just these few moments with Paula is not random. It's not a fluke. You know, when I read yesterday When I Was Crazy, which, as Paula mentioned, is available to you on Amazon and through her website, I was blown away. I really was. It's a gem. And I had the opportunity of knowing Paula directly before I began to read the book, and the two come together very well. So I encourage all who are listening to get yourself a copy of the Yesterday When I Was Crazy, a Sacred Contract with Healing book. And I'm sure that if you were to happen to reach out to Paula directly, she'd be happy to send you one that has been autographed, you know, from her personal inventory, but feel free to pick it up on your own through Amazon. And then I encourage you to join us for the 5-part series. Again, it's going to be an opportunity to take the lessons of the book, the testimony of the book, apply it to very strategic and tactical practices, none too deep, but all that can be beneficial, and then to have an opportunity to spend some more time with Paula. You know, Paula is an energy therapist and actually takes clients that are coming in at a premium, you know, for the opportunity to receive the one-on-one counsel and therapy that Paula is able to provide. Paula, I mentioned your social media locations, or that you're on social media. Can you share with our listeners how they can connect with you online, and you restate your website and any other online references that you think would be helpful?
Okay. PaulaPotts.com is my website. And I would like to invite our listeners to click on Paula's blog. and take a read through whatever blogs may appeal to you and leave a comment so we can start a conversation about some of that. There are excerpts from the book as well on the website. So you can read excerpts, you can read a few of the poems and learn a little bit more about the book. My Facebook page is Paula M. Potts, and you need the M in the middle. Paula M. Potts is my Facebook page. And I think on Twitter, I'm Paula Potts DC. Paula Potts DC on Twitter is what I think that one is. And I think that's about the scope of it for now for my social media.
All right. Well, we are actually, believe it or not, coming to the close of our show. This time has flown by. So I'd to offer you an opportunity, Paula, to offer some closing remarks on anything we've already touched on, something new that you'd like to share as we come to close. Just send us out with the love of your voice, please.
Thank you, Alexis. First, let me say that this has been a divine opportunity to share my sacred contract with you and with all the listeners, and I am indeed honored and grateful and privileged to be in this position. And I would say again to all, presence matters. It's something you can feel. It's something others can feel. So perhaps you might want to consider taking on the Feel Better Challenge so you can evaluate your own presence in the world and learn a few exercises that build health. I'd also like to say again and again and again, love is the answer. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're doing or being, let your choice be a loving choice. As you reach out to mankind, as you reach out to the world, as you fulfill your passions and the promises of God in your life. Be blessed, be well, and go forth with all that you have to give to the world. And thank you for listening. Forward to hearing from you very soon and very soon. And I look forward to having you join me for the Feel Better Challenge coming soon. So stay tuned. And again, Alexis, many, many blessings to you and much, much heartfelt thanks. You're a gem.
Oh, well, thank you, Paula, and many blessings to you as well. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the air with me as my first guest of Impacting You Radio. I look forward to joining you on the Feel Better Challenge, and, you know, I find myself quite blessed to be a vehicle of sharing your voice of encouragement. Listeners, thank you, too, for joining us. I look forward to engaging you as Impacting You Radio grows in the coming season. If you'd like to reach me, you may do so via email at clients@hirealexis.com. Until then, take good care and remember to be true advocates for yourself, your families, your communities, and to be mindful of all things impacting you. Peace, family.